From the great halls of their house, there are assembled three who hope to one day be the world's greatest driving heroes. Created from the cosmic legends of the universe comes our team captain, the Vision, Bill Fisher. Their soon-to-be Wonder Woman, Vicky Fisher. Our Captain Marvel and head flight trainee, Jennifer Scripchuk. And our Batman, the master of tools, gadgets, and all things mechanical, our mild-mannered soon-to-be billionaire, Alan Danvers. Their mission, to fight injustice, share what is right and wrong, to get you out of your house and come out racing with them, and serve all mankind. They are the Garage Heroes in Training Team.
Welcome to the Garage Heroes in Training Podcast. I'm going to be one of the hosts for this episode, and my name is Bill. Who else is hosting?
Vicky.
You are. We got guests. We potentially have two guests that aren't even here yet, but we have guests from our AAR race weekend. We have chief mechanic, all around good guy, Matt's back again. Welcome, Matt.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, Matt. Yeah. Hi.
Matt's looking all Dr. Evil in his office conference room. It's very nice. Very nice. I appreciate that. And we have team owner Dave's back. Dave, your car did more than 12 laps. Welcome back, Dave.
13.
I know. Way more than 13.
Plus quite a few.
And new to the car, but not new to us, former podcast guest. I think this is her third time coming back. Mm-hmm. We have Miss Lara Vernon lowering herself to our level.
Oh, come on. Thanks for having me.
That's right. Yes, I wanted to show you what it's like. I wanted to show you what it's like to not have Randy Popes as your partner on crime. So yes, I did that. All right. But enough about that. So guys, AER, has any of you guys raced with AER yet? I know we hadn't raced in that car, but has anybody been to AER?
I had one previous event only about 2 months ago. That was my first. It was a Road Atlanta event. And I really enjoy that league.
Yeah.
Good crew. Good guys.
There's some hardware out there that's pretty scary, but scary in a good way. There's lots to learn, for sure.
I think David, it makes the playing field a little bit more interesting, especially the way they qualify instead of just classing cars based on, you know, displacement and modifications. It's a little bit more about your drivers and, you know, you can kind of have more freedom, creative freedom.
Exactly. Dave, this was your first time there, I think.
Yes, it was. So this was we had contemplated this for NJMP last November, but couldn't get our ducks in a row. So this was the first.
It's a big track, isn't it?
Pit race.
Pit race is great. This was my second time there. I had done a champ event back in September, I think, of last year. Mm-hmm. In a severely underpowered car, but not this time.
No, you fixed that. Miss Laura, had you been to pit race? I never got the final answer.
No, that was my first time.
Thoughts?
So I have one more track now to add to the list. I really enjoyed it. You know, the blind turns are kind of scary when you don't know where you're going, but once you get used to it and you kind of have the confidence, that's a track where you can really creep up on people in the S's and just taking better lines through these turns. It's got a lot of technical turns that really separate the good drivers from the mediocre drivers. That turn one reminds me of turn one at Road Atlanta a lot. The opposite direction.
Yeah. It's a little less than can go wrong. I think Atlanta, you can get into a bad way. In pit race, you just leave stuff on the table. It's like, I could have gone so much faster.
You know, pit race has just a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got all your straightaways. I think that BMW hit about 120, 125.
That it did.
Too bad for 210 horsepower car. Is that what you said? Yeah.
210 exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Yeah, the car had some get up and go, except when I was driving. But anyway, Matt, had you been out there before? I don't remember.
No, this was my first time at pit race. First time running with the AER. So it's interesting weekend all around.
Yeah. The it's different than the other events I've been to and different than the other leagues. So not different in a bad way or different in a good way, just different, I think. All right. So I believe you guys got to do practice on Friday. I did not. How did Friday go? I have no idea.
So Laura and I went to actually went to pick up a seat on the other side of Pittsburgh, which we used, but that was so we missed the inspection, and you know, Alex was able to run his barter network, beg, borrow, and steal network, whatever you want to call it, to get some wheels for the car, as it was kind of held hostage on the trailer. But we did get the car off, kind of parked it on a hill and got it off the trailer, and then borrowed some wheels just to do some practice laps. Then both of us did get practice time Friday.
So why did you guys have to travel out for a seat?
This was a new one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was another one in Bill's trailer, but it hadn't arrived yet. So I guess this was like a backup, right?
Yeah. This was to replace the one that was in the car, which was expired.
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago.
Yeah, I think I got 7 laps in on practice day, which was enough to get a feel for the track. But
you probably knew when it was a left turn and a right turn. That's about it. But not
pretty much. Yeah. I had about 30 minutes of practice on R factor on the sim the night before I came to Pittsburgh, and then just that little practice session there. But it was funny, you know, the wheels that Alex decided to find, I don't think a single one of them had the same tire or the same wheel. I think they were all different brands of rims entirely. There was at least one that was an actual OEM BMW wheel, but it was like wearing, like, you know, two different sneakers, a tennis shoe and a snow boot at the same time.
Well, that's always fun. So how is it racing in snow boots, Laura?
You know, I've done it on the sim before. I will be the first to admit it's not easy.
No, you do a lot of sim, actually. I do.
Not so much anymore, but during COVID, I was hitting it pretty hard. Mm-hmm. Taught me a lot.
So you guys missed it, but one of our first, as Alex would say, wiener stepping events happened during Alex's first qualifying stint on Friday, getting out on the track.
Oh, really?
He came in, said, "Oh, the car's running hot. We must not have finished bleeding the radiator completely."
Oh, we were there for that.
So,
did we have a geyser again, Matt, or did we avoid that this time?
Oh, we have it on video. The instructions.
Are you blaming this one on Alex, Matt?
No, I'm getting there. The instructions were unclear of car needs water. So the ball gentleman leans into the car, looks at the thermostat and says, "Yep, that's hot." He proceeds under the hood, grabs the radiator cap, opens the radiator cap. Whoosh.
That's not a good
all
plan.
All over the place.
You got skunked on. You got sprayed by the skunk.
Yep. Thankfully, no injuries.
We almost had barbecued Matt.
And we don't want that. We don't want Matt soup. Oh,
I don't think Ryan had that on the menu.
No. Just in case people haven't been paying attention, we don't want to assume that they know what we're driving. What are we driving, Dave? It's your car.
It is a 1999 328 IS.
And in BMW land, that is a
E36.
Oh, look at you. You're getting there, buddy.
Last year of E36.
Exactly. Little wing on the back.
Little one.
Not too much else, non-standard. So,
it's got a purple, blue, and yellow grill.
Mm. That's true. Yeah,
that is, and that is not headlight. Standard.
Those one, aren't OEM. Yeah.
One headlight that worked. It's got a little bit of very mild aero in the front, and
a fly vacuum on the driver's side instead of a headlight.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. We don't want anyone getting away. So,
but again, the car was any issues? Just as a go through
mechanical. Yeah. So I think only one, realistically, probably. You know, unless I'm forgetting anything, and I probably am. Saturday stint, probably the last hour and 15, give or take. Whenever we did pop the hood after Saturday's race, the O2 sensor had backed itself off, and we were running without it. That cost us a little bit of performance. Mm-hmm. And the times kind of backed that up too.
Yeah.
Well, and we thought the axle was blown, which it still has a little excessive play in it. We just decided to send it because we had no other option. But poor Bill was stuck in traffic for twice the amount of time it would normally take to get to the track on Friday.
Yeah.
Arrived like 10 minutes before the practice and qualifying day ended and promptly turned right back around to go back home because Alex told him that we needed replacement axles, which he, I guess, didn't pack in the trailer. So Bill goes to get the axles, brings back like every single one that he owned, none of which actually fit the car because I guess they were all for an M3, and arrives back at the track at like 5 a.m. Bill, you didn't even get to drive Saturday because you were on such low sleep.
Yeah, no, it was a long day. I got to practice my trip back and forth to pit race though, so I'm really good at it now.
You did endurance driving regardless of whether you were going fast.
It's true.
I got the most miles of anybody this weekend. I don't care who they are.
You did. Yeah, absolutely you did.
He was pretty wrecked. Okay.
I feel bad for even waking him Saturday morning. I did wake him just so you could see the start of the race, assuming he'd go back to sleep in the trailer after that. But I think it took him a bit to get a nap in.
It's been a rough week for him already, and he just at the end of the day, actually halfway through the day, goes, "I'm calling it." And I came home because I'm still getting ready for the race, and he probably slept the longest I think I've seen him sleep in the daytime. He was just wrecked.
You can imagine.
I fought the law, and the law won.
Yeah. The older you get, the more, you know, sleep becomes the man, and the man is keeping you down.
The man is keeping you down. Yeah.
And then to only realize that it was all for naught because the axles don't work must have just been really soul crushing. But
we missed. We have a mishmash of parts, and that's one of our takeaways that we'll talk about later. Of we need an inventory.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Spares the car, everything. Yeah, the car still has a little bit of some of the components. Some of the suspension is still off of that loaner from podcast number 307, mm-hmm. That white 318, mm-hmm. And then some of the suspension is from an M3. Some of the driveline and axles may or may not. Now the axles aren't, but the driveline is. The diff is from an M3, so you know it's a.
We thought we had the parts you needed.
Yeah.
Eventually, you will. You just need to get the rear trailing arms, and then you'll be good to go.
Yes, sir.
No worries.
That's just opportunity for upgrades.
Mm. Yeah. We have some. We just need to put them in the car.
In other news, the car didn't burn any oil.
No. Oh, that's good.
So that was amazing.
That is pretty cool.
No skunk oil burnt.
Skunk oil burnt, no oil. That's good quality skunk oil. Mm-hmm. As far as I know,
to the brand.
Yeah. That's the original engine of that car as well. 165,000 miles now.
Just getting warmed up.
It is.
Mm-hmm. All in all, how did Saturday go?
Who raced on Saturday, I guess, would be.
We got a trophy. So,
Saturday was Saturday was our
said.
Right? So Saturday, right, and I'll give you the 2-minute rundown. We got Ryan. We're going to start with Ryan again. He's a great starter on track, right? So we got him all packed up in the car, ready to roll, took all of our pictures, ready to do this thing. He goes out, does, I don't remember how many laps.
45 minutes.
Not even.
we were at the camper, and I think Matt was like, got the text message from AER that he pulled into the pit.
Matt got the text message. I was up at the garage and I'm just walking down the hill eating a donut and having my coffee. And I see off in the distance coming through the paddock, there's my car. Oh, hell, here we go again. This time, at least it's under its own power. And he pulls over and pulls his helmet up real quick. And I ask him, what's going on? What's wrong with the car? Not thinking there's something wrong with him. He says, I feel like I'm going to throw up. I got to get out of this car. So I didn't even talk to him. I turned around, ran back up the hill, grabbed my helmet, headstock, put it on, got back into the car, and off I went.
Yeah, thank goodness you were there, because Alex and I immediately jumped in the golf cart and drove back to the pit, and we saw Matt leaning over the side of the car with his forehead touching the roof of the car, helmet off, thinking that something catastrophic had happened. Only like you said, when he pulled up, he's like, I'm about to puke. And you were at that point, I think, already walking down from the garages, like didn't waste a second. I think all in all, that took us about 12 minutes to switch the drivers and get back out on track. But that's a lot. I mean, that's 6 laps.
Yeah, at least. He did 13 laps and then he came in.
Okay. That's about what it seems. So off I went a little earlier than my scheduled stint, which is always, good planning. Have the second driver ready to go no matter what.
Note to self,
second driver was ready, just needed helmet. I jumped in, got out there, went promptly, got the swing of it, followed a few cars that I was comfortable with in the lower class, passed them, decided this is not my thing, found a car or two that was in the class above ours and stayed with them for a while. And promptly cut about 7 to 8 seconds off of the time that I qualified in. Came back in, and considering that was finally right. So that was finally the I finally got to get my car on a track and get comfortable in it. And as I was kind of expecting, at some point in time, it was just going to click. And at about 10 laps into that, 12 laps in, it did.
Looks like it,
kind of clicked on the back S's, realizing that I can hang with almost any car there.
Yeah, there's a couple that were, another league, but most of the rest of the field was pretty tightly grouped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's only on the straights.
We did have an M4 on track, in all fairness.
We did.
Mm-hmm. That's one hell of a machine.
Yeah,
a couple
that
Caymans,
it is. Yeah, and the two Caymans.
Properly kept. Those were 981 Cayman. Those were some real high-tech, new, well-sorted Salins track monsters.
Yeah, we weren't gonna intimidate them with our vehicle. So
maybe just skunk spray.
Yeah, maybe. It has to do it quick though. They didn't stay behind us for very long.
No, they didn't. You kind of realize that even those cars, right, for the back S's, you can stay within, coming into the S's, you can be still within sight of them at the end of them.
Mm-hmm.
Full into it on throttle and staying with them. It's only till the straights do you get just walked away.
They just keep walking, yeah. I think
class walked our car like it wasn't even moving.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Integra. 1996 Honda Integra.
Yeah,
I'm telling you that thing was a car length a second on us in the straightaway.
Yeah,
I think we were giving up probably 50 horsepower and
a lot of weight,
at least 300 pounds.
So,
as expected.
Yes, we were second slowest in our league, in our class, as far as our fastest lap time on Saturday versus theirs. So,
part of our issue was just running out of transmission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, actually, honestly, I never bounced off the rev limiter in fifth gear, but coming through the kink into turn 17, the fastest turn on the track, I was probably right at 6100 RPM heading into that braking zone, which is like, I mean, I don't think that car could have been geared any better for that track. I think it was
perfect. It really was.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot left to be had.
Most of the turns you're where you have a short straight, you're just hitting it hitting the red line, not even the red lines, like 6,200 in fourth, and then mm-hmm. break turn.
Yep.
Coming into the S's, I was getting up to about 65 or so, maybe even a little above that, just because it was, I tried not to get anything above that, but a couple times I had to go for some passes. Fourth. Coming into the S's. Yeah, same.
Yeah, that was the only place where it was just kind of, running out, and you just kind of, in the last 20 feet, just back off a little bit and coast.
Well, you either have to coast for, well, in my case, it would have been if I wanted to stop, accelerating after 6,200 RPM as requested by you, David, and I apologize if it made you upset that I brought it a little higher, but, if I switch into fifth gear at 100 feet short of my braking zone, what's the real point? Yeah. And if I coast there, I'm sacrificing at least a tenth of a second.
Right.
At least.
And I don't know if you got a chance to see it, Bill. I included a picture of it's the last dyno run, which is probably two and a half years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Engine-wise, nothing has really been done since then. And it's got an extremely flat horsepower. The torque curve, it looks flat, but the horsepower of the car is flatter. So you mm-hmm. really gain nothing from
going higher.
Maybe 5 horsepower we were gaining from about 5,500 the whole way to 6,500, probably 5,000 RPM to 6,500. You're mm-hmm. only gaining.
That's
about
a single
5 horsepower.
Vanos, right? Single yeah. Vanos on that engine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why.
Hmm. I mean, it pulls great all the way to red line.
It does. Yeah, it pulls really quick.
I was now you know why it had a lot of track records mm-hmm. for its class.
So speaking of track records, we did okay in our class on Saturday, didn't we?
Yeah, we got really fortunate that even with our mishaps, we were able to snag second place in class. There was a couple other cars in our class, which either ran into some technical issues or some contact that mm-hmm. took them out. And that's part of racing, right? I mean,
it is.
I don't think we would have had an opportunity to do that, considering what happened in the beginning of the day. Now, if we had not been put out by about 12 or 13 minutes in the beginning of the day, we would have snagged first in class.
Yep.
Yeah.
But as Alex said, that's Wiener Steppen.
We did.
So,
yeah.
But we're pretty good.
Yeah, we had that whole rules curve, learning curve. And that's we all did the entire mm-hmm. weekend. Somebody mm-hmm. did something.
Yeah.
Somebody got points the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, the juxtaposition of being right next to Salins in the pits, which if you don't know, any listener, Salins shows up with $200,000-$300,000 IMSA trailers. They have the high rise, pit stall setup where, they have,
everything we wish we had. I just locked up. Come back.
Get a little more rain that day.
Oh, there he is.
Sorry about that. We had a power blip. So
we got Ryan while you were away.
Ryan popped in and Laura started talking about Salins and I lost everybody. Sorry about that.
Oh. Yeah, we were talking about how professional we looked compared to the Salins outfit.
Yeah, we probably got to restart that one. So Laura, I know we lost, I think I heard a sentence and a half about Salins, but they're set up. So if you just want to start from there, I'll splice it together.
I mean, Salins just shows up like they're about to go run the Rolex 24. They've got probably 15 people crewing for them. They've got, the proper paddock and pit setup, two IMSA trailers, like five golf carts. They've got like, you know, that high rise hot pit setup where you're sitting 10 feet off the ground in a structure with monitors. And, you know, I mean, they're right next to us in the pits. And as soon as we do a driver change, we pack everything up except for the fire extinguisher and our non-tech legal gas catch can, and head back to the garage and leave nothing, like as if we had just broken down and are leaving for the day. Yep. And we come back with a unicorn costume, an Amazon box, 2.5 gas cans, and a driver who's probably not got all their gear on. And we just show up, run a 3-minute pit stop flat, and just get back in the golf cart and putt away with that thing clattering along. And and we're sitting like 2 feet away from these guys at Salem's having a good time. And they were totally like cool and wanted to come up and talk. And I know those guys and they're really fun and they're friendly, but it's just funny the juxtaposition of being right next to them in the pits and how just total, you know, we were racing by the seat of our pants and looking ridiculous while doing it and still. Oh, and by the way, dropping little plastic Solo, you know, hard liquor shot glasses out of the golf cart as we're driving away. Total lemon status at AER, you know. Yep. We were having a good time and it showed, and we ended up having an amazing car that, I mean, talk about a comeback story from where that car was at CMP to running that 16-hour race with no drama, no brake fade, no oil burning, no overheating issues, minus the practice day. I mean, what an accomplishment to build such a cool, well-sorted car. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and I guess this now counts as, you know, race one, right?
So exactly.
The first one was kind of a punted non-starter. Mm-hmm. But this is race one, so you know I'll take it any day of the week.
More hardware for you, Dave.
It's above my shoulder. You can see it back there by the jade horse.
Two race weekends, two chunks of serious hardware. It's awesome.
A lot of this is attributable. This is your segue, Bill. A lot of this is attributable to the hard work of Matt and Ryan, who are both on here.
Matt, Ryan, and Alex, you guys prep a hell of a car. You want to get into the prep now that Ryan's on board?
Yeah, we brought it in my garage and we threw it out the window. No, I'm just kidding.
That's about the only thing you didn't do.
So a car came into my garage. Basically, everything in the back end came out. Subframe, all the suspension components. And everything got torn down. Everything got ground down. Everything got sanded. We ordered 3 different sets of rear end bracing kits to get all the various parts. The RTAB bushings got the garagistic brackets put on them, and I welded all those in. Someone had already gone in and done all the subframe mounts. I got the excessive manufacturing subframe reinforcements, welded all those in. Found out that someone had already done the sway bar braces when I was attempting to try and put a different set in, and that finally clicked up with me. Subframe got all sanded and painted up. We cut out the trunk, the 12 trunk pan, the spare tire well. That all got replaced with a piece of aluminum, riveted in place and panel bonded and seam sealed and all. So basically everything from the back of the, from the front of the wheel well back got painted in flat black. And then we did our standard semi-gloss treatment to the subframe and suspension components. Picked up a new set of lower control arms, put those in. The right rear trailing arm, I had to push all of the existing monoballs and ball joints out of the busted arm, remove the factory bushings from the replacement arm and put the monoballs and ball joints into that trailing arm and put it all back together. Realign it.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
It sounds like you replaced everything except the axles.
Ow!
Just, you know, I'm just curious.
Yeah, so the clunking that the car had at CMP, Alex and I believe, was from the fact that we forgot to bolt the sway bar back to the subframe. So we thought that the clunking was because the sway bar was banging around. So we bolted it all back up and sat there and crossed our fingers and hoped for the best. That assumption was wrong. the original right side axle that was in the car through the traumatic event that almost gave me a brown suit moment remained in the car and decided to tell us at every major right-hand corner that it was unhappy and violently protested it, but made it through an entire weekend.
It did. Yep. So while we're on the mechanical stuff,
want to shout out Ryan real quick for being so on top of keeping everybody well fed that whole time and warm. And obviously the prepping of the car is incredible, but you know, he does it all.
He does.
Yeah.
That's right.
So Ryan.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Ryan. So while we're going to finish up on the mechanicals, we've got, what did we have to do Saturday night? And then what should we do since we're trying to pull two race weekends in a row with the same car and it's sitting there aging in the pit race right now?
So Saturday night, we threw a Hail Mary to see what we could do with the axle. Found out that amongst all of the axles we had, we did not have the right axle. We had mm-hmm. 318 axles. We had M3 axles, but we did not have a 328 axle, which is apparently specific. Stupid BMW having all the different axles. So we pulled.
Precision engineering, Ryan.
Yeah. Precision engineering. I think three axles is three too many, if you ask me. So we pulled apart the inside tripod, cleaned it all out, re-greased it, threw a Hail Mary, and it held up. We also had to swap out a seat because our seat may or may not have become a swamp for certain reasons.
That was coming out anyway. Stop.
Okay.
Someone spilled beer on it. Saturday.
Yeah, beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Bourbon.
Bourbon. Okay.
Coffee.
Well, I gave the car once over the rear diffuser, my modifications to the rear diffuser, because I got rid of the trunk pan, couple of the screws sheared. So we had to replace screw with sheet metal screws with bolts, put that all back together, gave it a once over, checked all the bolt alignments, had to reinstall the O2 sensor because halfway through my second stint, the O2 sensor came out of the forward bank. So it made the car really, really pretty smelling and made you kind of loopy after a while of driving it.
That's why I felt tired. It did feel, 5 minutes into it, I was like, Jesus, why am I exhausted? This didn't seem that bad.
You were being exhausted.
That 20-minute stint that I had where it was double yellow,
not getting any air.
Not getting any air. It was pretty good. Never having done LSD, I would equate it to probably something like that. I was high as a kite in the car.
Speaking of LSD, at one point during my stint, I started smelling diff fluid, and I was tempted to radio in, but didn't have one of those.
Reference that amateur hour scenario.
So I ran a couple more laps just wondering whether or not I was following somebody else that had some catastrophic failure, because I know our axles were kind of on the fritz, and if one of those were to pull out, then I would definitely be smelling diff fluid. And luckily the smell went away and it turned out to be okay, but that was kind of a brown pants moment.
What we should do, Bill, is have a second, like a little unicorn maybe hand puppet or something. You can stick your hand out the window and as you drive by the finish line, that means I want to come in two laps.
Or we could have radios at work. But you know, I mean, the unicorn works.
We need a taxi light on top of the car. You can turn on the taxi light.
I've done seven races.
I'm available
now
for pickup.
And I have never been in a car that had a working radio from driver to back and forth, one way or the other, period. Never. So I don't know what it's going to be like whenever that does finally happen.
We can make this happen
for you,
sir. It's just
a big distraction is really what it comes down to.
The one time I did have a working radio from the pits to me as driver, it was just Yuri telling jokes and singing to me.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, that's Yuri.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we got through Saturday. What happened Sunday? How did Sunday go?
It snowed again.
It did.
Oh, jeez.
It did not turn into a swamp.
It didn't. We were hoping
it would.
The seat
stayed dry. Yes.
Well, that was a new seat.
Yeah.
The seat that Laura and I went to pick up Friday, we installed, not knowing that, sorry, Bill, but not knowing at the last minute that I would find someone, I think in this case, Wednesday night that was happened to be selling a seat. Or no, it wasn't even Wednesday, but it was like Thursday morning saying, you know, I've got a seat. Anybody at Racing AER, come and pick it up. So I did. And it was a basically never used OMP HTER.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a nice seat. I liked it. It believe me, that
it was
wasn't
more accommodating.
That wasn't the thing that put my trailer axle into a state of duress. So the seat was not the problem.
Yeah, I listened to your podcast. So for listeners of this cast, please tune in to the previous one where Bill talks about his issues.
Yeah, Bill has issues. Just ask Vicky; she knows them all.
Have confidence, sir. Don't give up the ghost.
You know, We're here for you. We were there for your support, your moral support, and your hugs. And not once did you mention that you were feeling down on yourself, buddy.
Yeah. You know, we're here for you. We're going to give you a group hug next Friday. We'll all be there, right? Well, most of us are, you know, we're going to be there. We'll give you a group hug. We'll get you back in the car.
I like to wallow in my own sea of misery, so I was fine.
You know, this is the one thing. I don't think I've ever seen Bill react this way.
No.
In years.
Negatively to a drive. Yeah.
No. I'm just talking about in general.
Oh wow. Okay.
So whatever happened on Saturday
just
or Sunday,
sleep deprivation.
Like, broke him. It broke. I'm just wow.
There's a reason why the military and sleep deprivation is your number one torture tool.
Yeah. Usually it's my jokes, but I don't know.
Laura, are you showing up this weekend?
No, I wasn't invited.
Oh, you said you had a conflict.
Wow. No, I mean, I do have work.
See?
But, you know, my boss is pretty lenient.
Yeah. Your boss is awesome.
Right? I know.
Best boss ever.
That's what it says on the mug.
I love me some lemons.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a pretty long drive, I gotta say.
Now, where are you driving out of?
Asheville. Yeah, North Carolina. So.
We lived there. That's
no.
Right.
That we do this every time we talk to her, and
know.
You keep forgetting.
That is a long drive for you, girl.
Yeah, it was a good 8 hours. Yeah, but I can't really talk. Bill did it twice. So actually, four times.
Yeah. Four total.
So,
yeah.
Yeah,
meet me halfway. What happened to that?
Meet me halfway blew away.
What's that?
Meet me halfway.
Vicky's boss wasn't so lenient.
No.
Apparently.
Oh, you know, I have a kid.
Do I have?
It's like road trips.
You have like a 5-year-old?
No.
No. I have
two. You don't hear me complaining.
I know.
Hell, I leave my kids.
I know. I just, you know what? She's at that age where I just don't want to make a habit of it because I don't want to be that mom or those parents.
You know what? You know what the solution?
They were never around for me because they were racing. You know.
Well, you know what the obvious solution was.
But
the obvious solution is put her in the car with you.
Oh, yeah.
You have together time.
Nope, she was done for the day, and it was a school night. So
I forgot about that.
It was not a school night.
Miss Friday, hang on.
She had just gotten off school. How about that? She was done.
You were done.
She is so the other time. She is so over racing right now.
So let me
explain. We got to get her in a car.
This is what happened, okay? Vicky did the math in her head and came up with she was going to get home at like 3 a.m.
No, I said 1 a.m.
Right, which is only off by 3.5 hours when she would have got home.
No, because it was going to be like three hours one way.
No. And then, yeah, and no,
you already factored in traffic, so that was going to put me at 6 hours.
No, how many times did you hit that hurricane that kind of blew through?
Every time I went, man, it was ridiculous.
See, I'm thinking you hit it like 5 or 6 times.
No, it just kept going round and round and round. It sucked. Anyway, so Dave, you know what would have been good?
Yeah.
If your family could have been watching us in car.
Oh,
at the race, that would have been fantastic.
Oh, there's that other thing that I'd love to have, which is the whole electronics, perhaps something like a Sentinel system.
Sentinel system. You sent me a text today saying I need this, and I think you do.
I do.
Because we could have been watching each other and learning from each other the entire weekend. It's fantastic. I think it's something.
Yeah, and even
good.
If you didn't have a working radio, you can just give the camera the finger, and that means I'm coming in two laps.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it works in New Jersey. That's how, you know, we communicate amongst our drivers. It's, you know, it's like, good morning. Here's a finger. How are you doing? Here's a finger.
Hey, you're not going fast enough. Out of my way.
Here's a finger. Exactly. It's slightly less elevated than that, but, you know, this works as well.
Yeah.
It would have integrated with that flagger system too, I believe.
There's another point or two. So Laura can talk about
that. Would be cool if you could send your car like texts on the flagger system, wouldn't it?
Would be.
That would be.
If they gave you access to your own flagger thing and you could text your drivers.
You could put one of those, you know, those.
Would it be able to yell at the driver when it does 3 pass under yellows in the same stint?
Yes.
All right. So.
Tell the story.
Another situation of Wiener Steppen on Saturday got, you know, used to the way that Champ Car works where, you know, you get a yellow, full course yellow. Next time you get to the flag station, you see that flag station drop the double yellow. Generally, that means that you're not under yellow anymore. And when you see the flagger screen drop the double yellow, and the flag station dropped the double yellow, you kind of assume, okay, it's green flag. Well, I just got a little bit of muscle memory, I guess, or just stupidity, and assumed that I should go.
It was the exhaust.
It was the exhaust. So blame it on the exhaust. I was exhausted in many ways that day. But ended up having to serve a stop-and-go penalty. Alex was under the assumption that my flagger wasn't working, so he got a new one, stuck it in the car when I came in for the black flag, replaced my working flagger with a non-working flagger. So for the rest of the race, we didn't have that assistance. So that was fun. But I may have single-handedly given us 90% of our penalty points in about 20 minutes. On Saturday.
The consistency you had in getting the penalties for yellow flag passing was amazing, though. I mean, you did it so well.
That's true. Yeah. Thanks for that credit, Bill. Not many people would recognize.
I mean, you know, you just kept doing it. It was amazing.
Right. And the thing is that that wasn't the last of the penalty points for the day, even.
No, we had quite a few.
No.
Dave. Dave. I've got good news for you. You know,
we weren't the worst.
No, we were not by far. I've got a 10% discount on that Sentinel system. If you're interested, just put in G hit and you will get 10% off.
Where do I go to purchase said system?
I will send you a link and it will be on this episode. You can go there and just.
I bet you it's going to be in the text for the episode.
It will.
The description where I can go to find one of these.
Yes.
This episode is sponsored to you by.
Yes. Sentinel Systems.
Sentinelsystems.com.
That's all right. No, I don't think that's it. I think it's Candelaria Racing, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's right. Candelaria. So, yep.
So now that we're done picking on Lara for her yellow flags, but that's fine.
I got let's talk about my flag.
Oh, that's right. You had a flag too, Dave.
I had the first flag of the day. I think the only one that did not get any penalty points is Matt. The flag that I had, right? So I had to go in after Ryan, right? And I took the first long stint of the day. Okay, it's pit time. I know in my head that our box is right after the Salins ones,
mm-hmm.
right? None of us, amateur hour again, right? The crew of Benny Hill's crew of knuckleheads.
Benny Hill theme going on in the background. Here it comes.
Yeah, like wearing a motorcycle helmet backwards. So we can't see anything. We're all just running into trees. I'm coming into the pits, go past under the RFID, going 35, looking for my person. One of the Salins guys is way the hell out there. You know, it's the spotter, oddly enough, but he's way the hell out there, probably 5 feet into the middle lane. And I'm waving at him, like, get the hell out of the way, man. Trying to find my box and trying to find you guys. And all I can see is this Salins tape that went from one box to the next, or two long boxes. I mean, this is yellow
they
and
taped over
red.
Our pit box, to be fair. They went
they
clean
did.
Into our pit box.
They went
were like,
past
this is
it
ours
into
now,
the,
just
into
in
the
case.
Next one. So
well,
I,
we weren't there, so can you blame them? They would never know.
They would never know that his knuckleheads are there. They don't even, you know, we disappear after every pit. So I pull in really quick, yank it over, just about run over their spotter. Mm-hmm. Slam on the brakes, stop, and then realize that who in the hell are these people, right? These aren't my people. Where are my people? I can't find my pit box. And then I see them behind me waving at me. And instinctually, albeit stupidly, just throw it in reverse and back up a little bit.
And for those keeping score at home,
you know, my own crew member. So that, you know, if it was somebody other team's crew member, it would be bad, but.
All your penalties involved the car rolling.
It did. We went about 1 foot and slammed on the.
You had another
foot.
One. You had another one when you jumped over the wall before the car came to a complete stop, too.
They didn't give it to me. They just yelled.
Oh, they
me.
Didn't? Yeah, oh, okay. Well, that was nice.
Don't do
they
that
didn't
again.
Give us the penalty for Bill having his visor open while he was holding the
nope.
fuel jug either.
Nope, they did not.
Nope, that one either.
But I can't imagine it's safer for him to have one hand on the fuel jug and use the other to smash his visor shut. While he's juggling a 30-pound fuel can. I don't think that's safer. I don't think that's the right move.
No.
Well, I think the right move, Bill, would be just to smash your head against the side of the wing, which would close the visor.
Yeah, I probably about the only thing I didn't do wrong this entire weekend. Just for those keeping score at home, driving backwards in pit lane, not well thought of by just about
unless
everybody.
You're doing a J-turn, in which case it's totally allowed.
Yeah. After you've won the race, but we weren't
outs,
quite there
yeah.
yet.
Right. Totally, totally cool. Backing, even you know, it was probably a couple of inches, if that, and I slammed on the brakes, and then they just filled us up into the next box, which was, you know, Connolly's box. No, it wasn't Connolly's. It was the other guys
no,
beside
Auto
us.
Works.
Auto Works. Yeah. And they were, you know, stern about it. Hey, make sure you don't do that again. I said, okay, I won't, but...
Wasn't my
help
plan.
Me find my box.
Or half.
Now
half
we
a,
could have
box.
We could have moved the car backward by pushing it. No.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just for you people out there curious, you make that mistake. Get ready to push.
We make the mistake so that you don't have to.
And you do get a penalty. You know, because I looked at some of the other team's penalties and they were all stupid stuff too, right? You know, don't
there's
come
a
in
lot to... of rules in AER.
There are
related
there's
to pits,
outfit.
Yes. Driving, classifying, I think that's real straightforward. Pit is the pit rules are different than others. Don't come into the pit too fast and slam on the brakes, lock up as a penalty, you know, stuff like that.
Did you know that after Labor Day, if you wear white, you get 5 points if you race AER?
I don't have a white suit.
Well,
oh,
there you go.
Yes, you do. You've got that one from Saturday Night Fever. I've seen you.
Oddly enough, the Salins team got a penalty point, one or two, for having too many people over the wall. So there actually is a limit of how many humans you can have refueling, changing tires.
I don't think we had that many people. period.
It was still only about a third of their outfit, though.
The one pit, I think they had 10 people over the wall. They were feeding the driver grapes. They were fanning him.
They had the one guy peeling and the other guy feeding.
Basically, yes. Three people refueling.
They had one pit stop on Saturday where they came in and they literally drove the brakes off the car because the chunks of brake pad were actively on fire inside of the wheel. And the guy was just about to go start the fuel. He connected the fuel jug, got maybe like a tenth of a gallon into the car, and someone else goes, "Stop, stop." He pulls it off and they realize that they have this fire burning inside of their wheel. And so I'm watching the one guy with the fire extinguisher doing complex algebra in his head, wondering whether or not he should spray the wheel down with the fire extinguisher. And the guy's looking at him like, "You better not freaking do that." And he grabs like a long screwdriver and kind of like stamps it out. Man, it took him like 30 seconds at least of trying to get that fire out before they could actually put fuel in the car. But it was pretty entertaining to watch.
Mm-hmm. Miss Vicky.
All the while we moved up. We started the day, I think, fifth in class out of six. Based on our qualifying for Saturday. And
we started last.
Did we start last? Yeah. We shimmied or sashayed or whatever you want to use, our way up to second place. And I think for a very brief period of time, we're on the same lap.
The technical term is failed upwards.
We did.
Oh, okay.
We failed or fell upwards into second place. Mm-hmm. And Alex, and we talked about this a bit earlier. Alex, I'm sure, was chomping at the bit to get out there and try to make up a lap with 59 minutes remaining. Being here, I am being car owner, right? That in my head says, I have a distinct feeling he's going to really try to push it to make up that lap. To win, which would have been great, mm-hmm. but and the alternate is, I need that car tomorrow. I need that car next weekend. I need that car. I told him, I said, "You're going to close tomorrow. You're going to be at least an hour and a half closing tomorrow, preferably and hopefully in the rain, where I have two very qualified, happy rain drivers. I told him, you have extra time tomorrow. You and Laura will have that time in the rain." Of course, it only rained for about, 15 minutes in your stint, Ryan. That was the decision. I would go out there and my assumption, incorrect, right? Mechanically in this case, where Ryan was out there getting high on car. I was thinking, all right, I'm going to go back out there and at least turn times that are within a second or two of what I'd been doing earlier in the day, and the power just wasn't there. So I was within 4 seconds.
We probably would have won had I not passed under yellow 3 times. So
perhaps
you can blame it on me.
No need to blame anyone or anything.
It's more fun to blame it on Ryan throwing up in his helmet.
So yeah, guys,
Ryan
kittens?
Was just chugging yogurt before he got out there.
So
what it was.
I have a question. Matt, we're going to start with you. Thoughts on how the weekend went? What were your surprises on track and your surprises off track?
Matt didn't drive.
We can't hear you, Matt.
We surprised him off track.
See you talking. You got to double unmute yourself.
This is Dr. Evil Lair.
Yes.
Mm. We can start. How about if we move to Ryan while Matt figures it out?
Matt, quit doing the Raytheon double mute. Come on, work on it here, buddy. what surprised me off track and what surprised me on track? What surprised me on track? Nearly finding out the experience of puking next to your own face in a balaclava. That was surprising. What else? Getting forced off track in turn 3 and going 4 off.
That's not a good place to be forced off.
No. That was fun because not 20 minutes later, salt went into the wall there. Mm-hmm. That was fun. Surprising on track. Car getting the end of the second chicane? That's what, 14, 15? You know, towards the end of a stint, the car would start getting low on fuel, and it was just a four tire slide coming out of that down the downhill section.
Mm-hmm.
Positive or the negative?
Yes and no. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of, oh my God, keep your foot pinned to the floor, because if you don't, you're going to be into the wall.
So you were understeering.
No, I was four wheel drifting.
Oh.
Yeah, it would come up over the corner, and my four tires would break free, and it was a little bit of Jesus, take the wheel, you know, kind of deal. So that was fun. Other surprising thing, the passing in AER is just as bad as Lemons. So that didn't get any better despite the hardware that was there. A lot of nose chopping, a lot of going three wide where there's no business going three wide.
The mirrors in that BMW were really effective. They were great. You need a car with good mirrors in a race like that.
I'd say off-track surprises. I think we learned that Bill is capable of driving, you know, to Timbuktu and back and still somehow functioning.
It's debatable, that second part, but yeah, I'll drive whatever you guys need.
No, I think we worked. I think, you know, it was surprising how well we worked as a team for never having come together as a team before. So,
mm-hmm. So Dr. Evil, are you back in line now?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back, all Dr. Right. Evil.
Probably when my camera got lost. So, surprises on track would be that we stayed on track all weekend. We didn't have any major failures during the race that took us out for any period of time, aside from slight human errors. Mm-hmm. Off track.
You just zoomed your camera out. That was kind of freaky.
It's automated camera. It zooms in and out based on motion or some stupid thing. And nobody's using it yet.
I thought there was some poor staff sitting in the room with you controlling your camera.
This is a high production value podcast that doesn't have video, but that's fine.
Look, Ma, no hands. off track surprises. The fact that with Ryan and myself and Alex coming down from Connecticut, Dave coming from New York, and Bill from the other end of Pennsylvania, we all managed to get almost everything to the race in minimal amount of trips. Mm-hmm. And had a reasonably successful weekend.
Yeah. It was tons of fun. What about you, Miss Laura? What are you thinking?
Well, you know, on track surprises. I guess the biggest one was how AER handles their green flags. That was a surprise.
What do you mean? And just in case people aren't familiar.
Well, I mean, when they send out the pace car, which is, it happens every single time any car goes off, they resume race under green at the start finish, which is how I ended up having my triple penalty mishap. And so that was something that I knew, but I had forgotten. So obviously that wasn't great. Off track, I was surprised to find out that Dave was a teacher at my middle school, along with his wife, at the exact same time that I was there as a student, and knew almost all of my teachers and other faculty members that were there when I was in seventh grade. So that was kind of crazy. And that...
Was Dave your teacher?
No. Okay. The weird thing is that I didn't know either of them. Huh. He was saying, you know, I could have been your substitute teacher at one point, and that's probably really likely. And I just don't even remember. But, and then, you know, that during that whole conversation, that whole small world experience, we randomly happened upon a halal food court in the middle of a Walmart in Nowheresburg, Pennsylvania. So that whole situation was kind of fun, kind of just a whole bunch of what. So
small world
surprises.
Mm-hmm. Just Dave, I don't know if you would have wanted Laura as one of your students. Your seats might not have been the same after her.
Mm. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Just spill bourbon on it.
Yeah, just bourbon and coffee.
What about you, Dave?
Let's see, surprises. Bragging or anything, I don't know. Like I said earlier, you know, before we started, at some point in time in my, you know, racing career, all 9 months of it, I assumed at some point in time I was going to get out there on a track in a car that I'm comfortable in. Mm-hmm. It took about, you know, and I had to get out there, no time to think about it, just get in the car and go Saturday morning. And don't think, just do what you have to do, do what you're, you know, instructed to do, or do what you're trained to do. And it clicked probably about 3 to 4 laps into it. It started to click, just following cars that were in a slower class, and then realizing again that it just kind of fell into place that, okay, I don't need to stay with these cars. I can pass them. I know the right lines to take. I know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Then found a, you know, the group in the class above ours and stayed with them. So it just kind of, you know, it happened, right? It just kind of fell into place and, oh, okay, this is it, right? Now I can do this. So I was surprised with myself to be able to, you know, get that, that kind of breakthrough moment. So that was a, you know, a surprise, you know, on track. That and you know, most of the passes were pretty clean. Some were, you know, trying to cut the nose off the, you know, that splitter of the front of the car, particularly one bright green car. Won't name which one, but and they ended up being out for a few hours anyway, so it comes back. Off track, yeah, to realize that, you know, Laura and I were on our way to pick up the seat, you know, Friday morning, and, you know, casual conversation, you know, where do you live now? I live in Bedford in Westchester, and, you know, so just, I'm familiar with that, you know, then, you know, ask, well, you know, what high school did you go to, or what middle school, and then ended up being, well, hang on, when were you there? you know, and the whole kind of thing that, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So that was a, you know, a pleasant surprise. And I think, you know, again, with all these race experiences, and this one was no different, the quality of people that are there, are, you know, everyone is, you know, still out to help each other, you know, off track, right? On track, you know, you're racing, but off track, you know, they're all very pleasant. Everyone is helpful. Great group of people. So it was nice to see that continued even into a series that's, you know, let's say more serious than other racing series that we had participated in to date.
Okay. Well, I have another question because, you know, as we revisit and grow, what did we do better than the last time at CMP, and what can you do to improve moving forward from this race? I'll start with you, David.
So what did we do better? Finish the race.
Well, that's important. Two of them. Yeah.
Two of them, in fact, you know, mm-hmm. 8 hours each day. You know, and again, it's a testament to just all the effort, work, and sweat and tears that Ryan put into this. Thank you, you know, profusely. Matt, you as well, and Alex, who is not here, but the three of them put a ton of effort into it, and I believe, you know, so that really set us up for success. What can we do better? Well, we talked about how, you know, kind of having that. I'd love to have just one race in my racing career. I would love to have two-way radios that actually work, that I can take advantage of the IMSA, you know, headset in my helmet that's built in, along with its built-in microphone. Just love to have two working two-way radios. You know, 9 races now, I think, and still hasn't happened. And the data capture system, I think we'll definitely look into that. So, you know, in retrospect, we can see where we all are, where we can learn from each other, where we're taking advantage, or in some cases where we're pushing it a little too much. Even Sunday, when Alex came in, because we had 4 stops that day and I had to bring him in for the 5th stop with about a half hour left. So down to the pits I came and stood there with the, you know, the app stopwatch to hold him for 3 minutes, and he left pit lane with 3 minutes and 4 seconds. So that was perfectly timed. However, when he did come in, we were looking at the tire, and the left front tire looked like the right side of it looked like a 200 or a 100 tread wear tire. The left side of the tire looked like a slick. There wasn't much left, and the brakes were just about on fire. The brakes shouldn't be so much on fire. We weren't going to win. We weren't going to do better than where we were. You know, there's no need to murder the car with that much time left.
Okay.
So that, you know, there's certain little things here and there that, you know, we know where to make up time and where we can give back time. Not, okay, you know, and again, making sure that the car lasts, you know, 8 and 8.
Mm-hmm. Good. How about you, Ryan? What did we do better last time at CMP than last time at CMP, and what can we do to improve moving forward?
Obviously, you know, finish the race, get more than 2 laps during a main event. That was a good thing. I think we, you know, we finally got to show the capability of the car. As far as what we could do better, take it with a grain of salt. I am an engineer and I am extremely OCD. But Alex and myself and the rest of my former team, you know, we developed a checklist to basically prep the car prior to the race, doing everything from checking out the engine to checking the brakes, tires, everything. Listing out the condition of everything, listing out the alignment. I didn't get a chance to do that before the race. The general rule we've had is no less than a 6-week turnaround between races. This was barely 4, and that was a 6-week turnaround when I had 5 guys working on a car. So when it came down to just Alex and Matt and I think that was a bit of a stretch on the 3 of us, considering the amount of work the car needed. So, you know, not saying it's insurmountable, but you know, we got it done. But I think, there was some more preparedness I definitely wish we could have done, so that we could actually get some meaningful data post-race on things like how much our tires wore, how much our brakes wore, if the engine had any signs of wear. I didn't have that kind of time to collect the pre-race data that we normally do. And I think in terms of, the hiccups we had with getting everything to the track on time at the same time, practice was definitely, again, not as smooth as I would have wanted it. Again, you know, when I would run our Miata, we had certain systems on, you know, every time the car came in, there's someone checking temperatures on 3 locations on each tire and recording it. Someone's checking tire pressures. Someone's just doing a general once over on the car so we can see things like, is our camber off? Is our tire pressure off? Things like that, and make those adjustments. We didn't have that ability to use practice day to get that kind of meaningful data. I think in general, you know, our pit stops were pretty good, but there were definitely there's definitely some roles and responsibilities that needed to be defined better. I think Matt or someone like Matt needed to be kind of the, you know, crew chief and basically not let anyone go over the wall until they say so, not let the car leave until they say so. Not let anyone go over the wall without the visors on, things like that. Someone to kind of oversee all of that. Cause in the heat of the moment, you're not paying attention to everything. And we got dinged for it. I think that's about it. I'm not trying to be too overly critical, but, there's always improvements that can happen after every race.
Mm-hmm. But how about you, Bill?
I think we're still relatively new as a team together. I don't think we've quite gelled. We've got lots of different experiences going in together, and I don't think we've taken the best of each, because a lot of this we've been kind of hustling towards the end. So I think there's some rushing that we've done that we could do a little bit better and get everything solid. I think there's a potential for it to be a very good team. What did we do better? Obviously, the prep was better. Car ran great. I think the only thing we had was, minor. Looks like it's going to run again next weekend. It should be fun. What can we improve for next time? I think, just some reps. I think we need to get together and do the same thing over and over and over so we get better at it. We have a checklist. I'd like to get that checklist reviewed by Ryan and kind of make the best checklist, as opposed to, I'm not saying ours is perfect. I'd like it to get better. So that would be good. And then I'd like to see a car Bible for this car. So if we would have known, and this isn't, we're not picking on anybody at all. It's the car is kind of a hodgepodge of which type of vehicle a BMW it is. If we would have known that those axles weren't M3s, I wouldn't have gone to get them, because I assumed that, the diff was an M3. I was like, yeah, axles must be an M3. So I went to go get parts that we just had no chance of fitting on, but that's okay. Miss Laura, what do you think?
Wasn't there.
Well, I'm here.
No, she was at CMP. She was winning. We were.
Yeah, she was right beside us.
Not much to improve on from our performance at CMP, I don't think.
No.
I feel like I'm getting more and more comfortable with just kind of asserting my place in track and being a little less shy about just kind of navigating traffic. I think the more races I'm doing, the more I'm realizing that, pace is everything. It doesn't matter whether you set a really fast lap or not. It's about your average lap time. And one of the reasons that Randy is so successful is because even in traffic, he can bang off within about a second or two of his fastest lap. So just realizing that there is a way to stay out of trouble, and there is a way to be conscious of cars around you and navigate faster and slower traffic without sacrificing speed or letting off too much, letting people by, don't be polite out there. I think that's kind of one of the things that I'm working on. And I felt like I performed that pretty well this race.
Awesome. Yeah. If we could drive more like Randy as a team, we'd be, we would have done a little bit better this weekend. But, there's that.
There were a couple parts, like on the back S's where earlier in the race, right, or toward the end of the back S's, right, I'm about to get murdered by the, the random vandals and Salen's cars or the turkey. I pointed them around me, right? I'm racing my race, and it's easier for me to just get them the hell out of the way and show them which way I'd prefer that they do that. So, I did do some point buys, but I'm still racing my same pace, and they're on a, at least 10 to 12 second faster pace. So
sure.
It's easier to clear the traffic out of the way, right? Even if that's the faster traffic, and go right back to your race.
Mm-hmm.
So how about our traditional?
What about Matt? Did Matt go?
Sorry. There's Matt.
So things we did better than CMP was staying out on track significantly longer and staying out of maintenance mode significantly longer. As far as things that we still need to get better on, between Saturday and Sunday, we did have the kind of we need a crew chief discussion, as Ryan mentioned a little bit, where one person was watching to make sure visors were down. One person, that same person, was watching the clock. We did get radios installed, if not well. They were there. You could sort of hear the people off the track, just not talk back to them. So testing the radios before leaving the pits. So we got to continue working on that, getting all our spares and parts organized so we actually have parts that fit the car and not just parts that look like they should fit the car. So getting all that together and in one location to show up at one time. And I think this personal experience is on past races when we've had a kind of a ride and drive group and the track is green, the whole crew is there, whether it's or we did have a couple of people just, the green flag dropped, they weren't there or had to leave early for any number of reasons, which is acceptable. It's just when the track's green and everyone's there, you're prepared for if something happens or if someone's washing clothes that only brought half of the clothes back and we had to pull a driver out early or because of the rain, we wanted to change the order of drivers. Just communication in general seemed to be missing occasionally, but lots of little things, but I think we're in a significantly better place than CMP and we're ready to go even better next time.
Awesome. Yeah, and this, I mean, this being the second race for our hodgepodge team, you know, I would consider this, you know, pretty damn successful for, you know, again, the shotgun marriage of these, you know, two teams. And I think, you know, Ryan and Matt, you know, did a great job, and you know, all of us did, of wrangling Alex. He was about as focused as I've ever seen him the entire weekend. So, you know, kudos to him, too.
Low bar.
I was trying to pay him a compliment, even though he's not here. He'll probably listen to this on the way out. Hello, Alex.
The better the car runs, the less he's required to do after the race stops. The sooner he can drink and socialize with the rest of them.
Guys, I gotta jump off. I'm sorry.
No worries.
It was thank so you. Great to have to be on with you, and thanks for welcoming me into your team. I had such a great weekend with you all.
Awesome. Well, it was great racing with you, Miss.
Thank you.
And you're always welcome to invite yourself on.
Well, I would hope that it wouldn't be a situation where I, you know, I think you think I'm inviting myself, but if I need to, I need to. It'll be worth it. Love you all. Thank you so much.
All right.
Take care. Have a great night, Miss.
Okay, bye.
All right, Miss Vicky, you got one more question, right?
I do. These are the latest, and the last is the traditional good, bad, and ugly. Just real quick. How about Matt, good, bad, ugly?
Probably one for all of them is the way that AER does scoring. Being registered in, as crew, I did not receive credit for the race as a driver, but I received credit for the award that we took second place on Saturday.
Congratulations. Good job.
I'm a second place non-racing driver. So I have one championship and no races.
Nice.
This is amusing.
Just think what your ratio is.
Yeah, and we can keep going like this because I don't plan on getting on track. Ugly would be the nice solid 8-9 hour drive each way. Leaving after work on Thursday, getting in sometime was about 2 o'clock in the morning on Friday. And then leaving after the race at like 6:30 on Sunday. And I didn't make it home until 4 o'clock on Monday morning to get up to 8 o'clock. to go to work. So that was a long, fun weekend. The good was seeing everybody getting their time out on track, and just the difference in socialization between the groups that run Lemons, and they're kind of like the old saying of a party where a race breaks out at, and we seem to bring that with us. So even at Lucky Dog, which was another similar fancier series than Lemons, but there was enough Lemons people there that we brought our own party, and the same thing seemed to happen at AER, where we brought the party, and it's just like the three cars or so worth of Lemons people drinking and hanging out, and everyone's just like, oh no, we must race in the morning, we need sleep, and just kind of disappearing at the end of the day.
How about Ryan? Good, bad, ugly.
Oh, this multitasking. Good, bad, ugly. Good was the track. That track was definitely unlike anything I've ever driven. Was a hell of a lot of fun once you got a rhythm to it.
We went over the track before you got on, Ryan, because you had some other stuff coming in. How did you like the track?
Yeah, I definitely like the track. It's very easy to get lost at the start, but once you understand the track and once you get a rhythm, it's a lot of fun. I really do enjoy that. What's that? 6-7, the downhill into the right hand up.
5-6. Yep.
5-6. Yeah, that's a real fun part. Alex had talked about when I was talking with him, how he got the car on basically up onto the left rear and three tires off the ground. And thinking back about it, I think I hit that too. And that's a new experience, that's for sure. Driving uphill on one tire and just sitting there going, okay, see what happens. Maybe we want some grip in a little bit. That was a lot of fun. Bad. Mm. The bad would be the bad was some of the passes that I had pulled on me. Upper class cars thinking they're way better than they were. Some just like real ugly, just like stuff I would expect to see in Lemons, and not in a higher class series with higher horsepower cars that can pass our car just about anywhere. Some of those were just there's no need to push me four off to get around me. And some of the other stuff they pulled. What was I going to say? Ugly, drive shaft vibration or the axle vibration. That was a little PTSD inducing from CMP. First couple times that happened, slight mental freak out. Reminded me of the kink at 110. So that was definitely ugly for me.
Bill?
Oh, I didn't plan on answering. Okay. Good. First time at AER, getting second place. You guys did fantastic. That was great. I think the team pulled together pretty well. Bad. Bad was I don't know why we did cold pulls, why we didn't have hot pulls. We did the double yellow, and everything was double yellow until everything got cleared up. But that seemed weird. I've never had that happen at pit race before. I don't know if it's an AER thing or a pit race thing. Pit race could have gotten a new track manager. Who knows? Maybe that's just the way it's going to be. Hopefully not, because it's going to be a long weekend at Lemons, because lots of cars break there. Ugly, I think, was the contact and the resultant grooved tire that was in our pit stall neighbor. That wasn't very nice. And luckily, they got that car back out on track, and the tire didn't have any problems. That was one of the uglier groove tires I've ever seen. Ready for rain, though. That should be able to.
Yeah, that was definite rain groove.
Yeah, exactly.
I should say, or the fist stuff that almost broke out in the garage that night.
Yeah, those two teams needed to come together in a different manner, but we'll move on from there. And what did we learn from this race? We learned that Bill has limitations and apparently exceeded them. And then when Bill exceeds his limitations, Bill sucks like a Hoover vacuum cleaner. So that would be it. And then Dave, you're the grand poobah here.
So the good obviously is on our first race with AER to our first full race to do second and fourth in our class. We were fortunate, to be at that point near the end of the race in the last hour to be within a lap of first place. So that was good. With a series of misfortunate events, right? We lost, give or take almost 20 minutes for the day. But we're still in a position to be, near winning on the first race. Right. So that's cool. That's the good. And overall I really enjoyed the whole AER experience, right? So it's a lot of the cars that you're there with are let's say a much higher caliber of than other series that I've raced in. Although some of these are similar cars to Champ, overall I think the rest of the field was just slightly faster and more
uniform, I think too.
Yes. So there was that a very pleasant experience, and I let John know that I think we all had a very pleasant experience and would certainly come back for more racing with AER. I wanted some rain. I wanted my super skilled rain drivers out there in galoshes and Paddington hats and coats.
Listen, it was cold enough. We weren't going to get any rain.
We got snow instead.
Yeah. I think we got sleet overnight Saturday night.
Snow, rain, sun. We had it all in that day and cold and windy. And I think we're getting the same again this weekend.
Seems like it. So we'll be back at it again this weekend. Dave, you're going to be riding in the same vehicle.
Yes,
Alex will be there with you.
He will.
And
we'll have two other drivers coming to the Garage Heroes in Training featuring Skunk Oil Team. Awesome. And as always, Bill, there's a seat for you if you want to wrestle that demon again and
perhaps
prove to the car and to yourself that you are indeed fast and you can manipulate that traffic.
I don't think I have to prove I'm fast. I just need to be faster than the pile of dog do that I was last weekend, but that's okay.
It's all right.
We're going to get there.
You'll have good support.
That's right.
Like good, strong support. Not that I'm saying you didn't have it before, but maybe there'll be some familiarity for you.
It'll be fine. We'll have fun. Ryan, we will miss you. Maybe we already have.
I'm definitely bumming that I can't go, but fatherly duties call.
We understand. Was pit race what you were promised? I always talk about it very fondly.
Yes, it was definitely what I was promised. I actually have some coworkers who run that with NASA, and they told me all about it too. And it was everything and more. I was told so. Had a great time.
Awesome. Well, let me know who they are because I'll be at the NASA event every time. So that's always fun. Thank you guys. And Miss Laura, if she was still here, thank you as well. It was great racing with you guys. We had a good time. We got Dave some more hardware for the bookshelf, and hopefully we'll get to do it some more in the future.
In 4 days.
Exactly. Or less. Feels like less. It's going to be fun. All right. Until we get back and we do another post-race recap. Thank you, guys. The Skunk Oil Team dominates as always.
We're averaging third place.
We are. And a trophy a weekend. So that's not so bad.
Right.
All right. You guys have a great night.
You as well.
Bye.